It might sound like hyperbole, but it's not, my friends. That was my favorite match of the entire season. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Beth Mead. Let's talk about Emily Fox and much, much more. Welcome, 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 my friends, to yet another episode of That Arsenal Women Podcast. I am your host, Demian. Thank you so very much for tuning in, for your energy, for your time, for anything and everything having to do with spending who you are with me. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate all the likes, the subscriptions, the sharing, all of that good stuff. And if you haven't done so, please share, subscribe, rate, and leave a review if you can. If this is your very first time listening, I have to warn you that I am not a pundit. I am not a professional journalist. I am not an author. I am just a guy that plays drums for a living and happens to love Arsenal women. So what you will hear here is a lot of opinions, a lot of subjective takes, and things of that nature. Also, if you don't know this, I have a blog. If you go to thatarsenalwomenblog.com, you can read stuff that I write every single day. And today was the 389th blog post. That's right. I've been writing for over a year. It feels amazing to have done it. And I want to thank all of you for allowing me to do that, for all of you that have read it, for all of you that have interacted and commented. I truly appreciate it. And I know that I say sometimes things that are, I wouldn't say weird necessarily, but I understand why people might have a problem with it. But I promise you that I say it all with the club's best interest in mind, in heart, and same for the players. And I know I've gone pretty hard on Jonas. I don't want to say recently as far as the past couple of weeks, but definitely before. I went in pretty hard on him, but no more, my friends. I have shifted my way of thinking and behaving, and unless I feel that it's imperative for me to say something, I shall. But anyway, in the spirit of content creation, my friends, if you're out there and if you've wanted to make a blog or have a podcast and things of that nature, I'm telling you that you should do it. It's amazing. It's rewarding. It's beautiful. With the caveat that you have to be consistent, you have to put a lot of effort in producing these things, a lot of time, a lot of intention, and you have to remember that your audience deserves, whether it's two people, one person, 20 people, 100, 200, it doesn't matter. They deserve a lot of respect and they deserve a lot of dedication and inspiration, and you have a responsibility to try to put out the best product available. Or available to you and that you can. And it's not always possible. Not every single one of these podcasts have been recorded in a high quality fashion with a really good microphone or whatever. But I'm saying in general, it will help you to achieve more of what you want, which I'm guessing is more listeners, more readers, and so on and so forth. If I can be of help, please let me know. If not in the content side of things, in the operational side of things, in the multimedia side, in the musical, the recording, the editing, all that stuff, I am here to help you. But let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about things that matter, the match, the result, the smiling faces on the players that we love, and so on and so forth. So this was the very last match at the Emirates for this season. You don't need me to tell you that. But I do have to say how beautiful and how important it is. And that we need to embrace how lucky we are that the club allows for these things to happen. And I don't mean that like they're doing us a favor, right? But what I'm saying is that we are privileged. Maybe luck is not the right word, but we're very privileged to have the club that we have with the support from the board that we have, to have the girls play at the club's largest stadium, to quote Viviana Mirima, not the men's stadium, but the club's stadium. And I think it's really, really cool. And at first, I thought that this could have been a sort of farewell match for a few of the players. And I had expected some players to start. Like I don't see Sabrina long term at the club, so I would have imagined that Jonas would have put her or played her today. I don't know if I see Caitlin Ford at the club for a long period or a longer period of time. I mean that from a strictly footballing sense. I don't know anything. I don't have any inside info, but I think that we have better options than her and we could do better with Lauren Hemp and other players, but that's neither here nor there. I would have loved to see Lena Hurtig at the stadium to maybe get a farewell if she's going to leave the club at the end of the season and things of that nature. So I thought it was going to be sort of an emotionally charged day out at the Emirates. And I was very intrigued to see what would happen. And what happened, my friends, was what I said, my favorite match of the entire season. There are several reasons why, but one of them was I wanted to see a different center back partnership. I understand that Lotto Wubenmoy has been playing out of her skin, and for a lot of people, she is the player of the season. I don't think that is the case. I think she's the most improved player in the world, probably. And I applaud her and I respect her so very much. And I'm so proud of her for her display. However, I thought for the longest time that a different center back partnership would be better, more solid, more dynamic, and more interesting to me. And I had been begging for Amanda Ehlerstedt or Laia Codina with Leah Williamson. That hadn't happened. And when I saw the lineup, I was very excited to see what would happen. And I have to disclose, I am not happy that Lotto Wubenmoy didn't play. I'm not happy that she had a knock or whatever she's going through. That doesn't make me happy. I love Wubenmoy. I wish her the absolute best. She's one of our own and all that stuff. I don't have enough superlatives to speak about her. However, as a football fan and somebody that is very much inspired or motivated by whatever I feel that it's solid and trustworthy, and I don't necessarily feel that I can trust a back four with Lotto Wubenmoy at the back, not to be redundant. It's just not how I feel, and it's nothing personal against her. I just rather have somebody else play there. I feel more solid, which I have to admit that how the hell would I know what solid is if I'm sort of debating if the best player of the year for many people isn't playing. So like I get the irony and all that, and I get how you might disagree. Completely understand. But that's not the point. The point is that Leah Williamson was partnered up with Steph Catley. Katie McCabe was back on the left. Emily Fox on the right. And I thought that alone, like the defensive display alone was absolutely superb. And I understand that they weren't up against Bunny Shaw or players where we would have needed necessarily the speed of Lotto Wubenmoy and her power and stuff like that. I understand that it was a different type of opposition. But the way that it felt so organized, or how organized it felt, how solid it felt, how reliable it was, honestly, I thought it was just absolutely magnificent. It was poised. It was strong. They led from the back. I just had no doubt in my mind whatsoever that we were going to get a clean sheet. Like none at all. It was amazing. And again, I'll caveat this by saying, it's not that I think that if Lotto Wubenmoy plays, we're not going to have a clean sheet. No, absolutely not. She's a damn rock at the back. There was something in the way I felt with how Steph Catley played, especially with Leah Williamson, that it made so much sense and everything felt so calm and mellow. And the body language was positive. I didn't see the same things that I see with players playing with other players. Let's just say that. So I tip my hat. I'm literally tipping my hat right now to the back four. It was amazing. And it was incredible to see Leah be just a monster at the back. She was incredible. But I have to say, Emily Fox, take a bow, my fellow American. She was unbelievable. A 10-10, 10 out of 10 display, not a foot wrong. I do hope that she develops her left foot a little bit more. But man, she has been absolutely magnificent. I am so happy that she's at our club. And I have to raise my hand and say, I did not think that she could be better than Noel Maritz. Definitely not. I admit it. I was like, who the hell is this person? Why are we signing her? And I have given Jonas a lot of stick in the past. But I have to say, him and the recruiting department and all that stuff, all the scouts know exactly what they were doing. And I have to give them my respect. So that was amazing. Emily, you are a godsend. I cannot wait to see you in tandem with Laura Wienreuter, who I'm very excited to see. Glad that she got some minutes as well. And it was just amazing. So from the back, let's go a little farther back to one Manu Zinsberger. Few things make me happier than when keepers shut the mouths up of those haters that say the dumbest things online and they just hide behind their keyboards. And look, what she did was so amazing. The saves, the leadership, she's just been having very, very good performances. So that's all I'll say. I'm very, very proud of Manu. I'm proud of the way that she has conducted herself on and off the pitch, how vocal she's been about sort of taking ownership and being accountable for some of the mistakes that she's made. And honestly, a lot of those mistakes weren't even her mistakes, and she is a bigger person than most, and she assumes the role of being at fault. And she also knows that she has to have the memory of a goldfish and just move on and be better and better and better. And displays like those today prove that she was definitely deserving of that contract extension. And anybody that doubted, let me tell you, with love and respect, I don't think you have any idea what the hell you're talking about. And by the way, this is coming from somebody that was all about Mary Earps joining us, and I still am, because I think that 1 and 2 tandem, man, that's only going to make both of those keepers better. And I am here for it, my friends. That is the kind of competition that we need, the kind of competition that the girls want, how they thrive. And I cannot wait for the summer transfer window to open and all that stuff to see who we get at the back. Also, I don't want to be not sensitive or insensitive to Kayla and to Sabrina, but from what I have seen, the sort of level that they're at, I don't think they're the level that we need at the club. Maybe because I haven't seen enough of them. And I raise my hand, and that all comes from a literal part of me that is ignorant and has no idea what the hell he's talking about. But it's not from a hating or a criticizing point of view. That is just my 2 cents when it comes to that. But now, let's talk about who I think is the player of the season. Kim Little. Queen Kim Little. Oh my goodness. Where the hell would we be without you, Kim? I mean, what do you do? Is just, I'm like, I have my eyes closed. I'm like trying to think how to encompass in words and express what she means to the club, what she has done, how she has played. But I'm at a loss of words. And that, for somebody that has a podcast and a blog, that is not an easy thing to do. So Kim, thank you. Thank you for being in our club. I think that it's so amazing that you continue to show people, not that it matters, but to show people, and you remind them constantly of what a consummate professional you are, how ageless you are, your vision, your drive, your ability to play in different roles in the midfield, your ability to pick the team up, your ability to have, I think, 100% pass accuracy, whatever it was. It's unbelievable, and we're so very lucky to have you. And to those people that are obsessed with finding the new player, the new Kim Little, the new Leah Valti, they're not done, my friends. They are not ready to be replaced. Neither is Kim Little, neither is Leah Valti, neither is Viviana Miedema. And I understand the love for Victoria Pelova, Kira Cooney-Cross, Frida Manum, etc. I understand, I get it. But those players are not in the same league as Leah Valti, Kim Little, Viviana Miedema. So we have to realize that we have generational talents in those three players, aside from Katie McCabe, aside from Steph Catley, aside from Beth Mead, right? We have basically historic players that are playing at our club right now that we need to love them and cherish them and not be quick to offload them or think that the new shiny object is anywhere near as effective. It's not. It won't be, right? And this idea that players are bigger, that no player is bigger than the club, I respect it. Very much respect that opinion. But there are some players that transcend the sport and transcend the club and transcend football and transcend athleticism and transcend social media and social politic constructs and stuff like that. And those are the players that do that. Viviana Miedema, Kim Little, Leah Valti. These are unbelievable players that we need to love and respect and cherish every single minute of every single day. So please wake up and don't ask for a new midfield partnership that or midfield trio or at least a duo that don't include Leah Valti and Kim Little. Please, what are you doing? And if that sounded a little judgmental, kinda, because it is, like I don't really can comprehend people taking those players for granted. And I wrote about this. Sometimes I feel that some people have a hot take, and then some other times people crave attention, and they are desperate to be right and to have that prediction come true so they can say and boast and tell their friends like, oh yeah, I was the one that said that so-and-so was going to be better than this, or I was the one that said like that this would happen. And I just think that might not be the smartest thing to do with our time, with our energy, and with a message that we put out there, because it seems like it might not be authentic. If it's authentic, all power to you, and if you believe it, amazing. But if you don't believe it, and you're just saying it to be kind of controversial or to, you know, raise some questions, raise an eyebrow here and there, I just don't know if it's the best thing to do for yourself or for the players involved or for the club. But who the hell am I to judge, right? I say that I judge, and I mean it because I'm literally admitting to judging. But it doesn't mean that it's right or that it's good or that my opinion is any better. Like, I'm sure that people can argue against, you know, a Leah Valti or Kim Little or four other players. Like, I get it. I completely understand. But I do think, however, that my intentions are always aligned, and maybe other people aren't the same way. And again, I'm not judging them, but I think it would be less easy to judge if it seemed authentic. So what's next? For me, personally, waiting for the transfer window to open, I cannot wait, not only for it to open, I cannot wait for it to be done, because it's going to drive me absolutely insane during the summer. It's going to be absolutely brutal. And I'm also very excited to see the rumors, and I'm excited to see where Mary Earps goes, where Lauren Hemp goes. I want to see where Ella Toon goes. I want to see where Alexia Putellas goes. I want to see where Dominique Janssen goes, and so many players. I'm just dying to see what is going to happen in this insane merry-go-round. I want to see where Lucy Bronze goes and all these other players. I'm very excited, very excited. But one player that I would not trade for the life of me, a player that I would renew their contract for 20 years if I could, is Beth Mead. She has been recovering very well, and I know that she had a couple of matches that people weren't too excited by or were very critical of. But I have to remind people, in case you're one of those that are giving her shtick, they're giving her stick online and happen to be reading or listening to this podcast. She's recovering from an ACL injury that is career-threatening and dream-shattering for a lot of people. And she has done so in a remarkable way. She has defied expectations. She had an assist minutes after coming in against Villa at the Emirates. I remember because I was there and it was like the best moment of my life. And, you know, these things are not easy to recover from. Like, I twisted my ankle Saturday afternoon, pretty bad. Not a broken ankle, not a sprained ankle. I just twisted my ankle and rolled over my ankle. And it still hurts. And I can barely walk normal, right? So the idea that people are going to magically come in and recover and, you know, sort of defy expectations as far as on the pitch performance and output is concerned, it's pretty unrealistic. However, if you were to look at what she did, the goals that she has been scoring, but especially these last two in this match against Leicester, that brace was incredible. Her off the ball movement, her intelligence, her eye for goal, her, you know, ability to be as a goal poacher, a number nine when we needed her. That flick, it was so cheeky and it was so beautiful. And it's like having these resources in this toolbox, and you have to use them from time to time. You know, there are a lot of players that don't do that or couldn't do that. And there are players that can do that, but do not even attempt to do that. And I think that's one of the main reasons why I love Beth so much, is that she dares, she tries. And I've spoken about this before, and I will say it again. I think that athletes, and footballers in particular, have to think like a skateboarder, right? And a skateboarder has to believe with every fiber of their beings, mind, soul, heart, body, that they're going to land whatever trick they are going to attempt, especially if it's a dangerous one, jumping over stairs or whatever. They have to believe it. If there's any doubt in your mind, right, they will fall, they will get hurt, and it's going to be a bad situation, right? So I think that athletes need to do that. They need to dare, right? Or the biggest names, the most successful and better football players have this. Messi dares. Alexia Putella dares. Kim Little dares. All these players there, right? Viviana Miedema dares, of course. Katie McCabe dares. Oh my God, she's the fucking captain of daring. And then you have Beth Mead, who dares these things, these flicks, these tricks, these amazing things that seem effortless. But that is a lot of practicing. And it's also vision. It's improvisation. It's freaking art. We're like describing a musician, right? Resourceful, quick, witty. It reminded me of who she is as a person. You know, you're talking about something that is witty, smart, quick, has to think on their feet, always has a comment, you know, always has something to say. It has joy when she says it. And I think that's a perfect goal that encapsulated who she is. You know, somebody that is there when we need her the most. And I think that she really appreciates that we were there when she needed us the most. And she's paying back however she can. And one of those ways is scoring goals. The second one was magnificent as well. Took that pass, slotted it in. I mean, it was just amazing. So proud of you, Beth, for being Beth and continuing to prove to people that you are well on your way to recovery, however you say in your beautiful language. Actually, I got sidetracked as far as what's next. So what's next for Arsenal women is a match against Everton. Then I believe it's Man City. But one thing that I had written about today, and I apologize if I'm being redundant if you read all that stuff today, is that it's annoying that Chelsea are not playing at the same time as us. I'm not saying that because they're playing Champions League football and we're not. Whatever, I don't really care. What I mean by that is that we are now made to wait for their games to be played. So they will have two, maybe three games in hand, you know, by the end of this weekend. And that is not fun for us who are waiting for them to slip up. Right. And I'm not complaining about them, you know, doing better or anything like that. I'm just complaining about the fact that we have to wait. I'm not even complaining about the fact that we have put ourselves in that situation where we've been needing for them to drop points. That's for another day. But it's just annoying that we have to wait. Do you feel that way? Like, it just, I want to know now. I want the pressure you know, to get to them at some point. And I want to know what the hell is going to happen. But that's not how football works. That's not how life works. We got to be patient. And we have to just kind of wait and see. So as far as me, my friends, as it relates directly to my involvement with this podcast and the blog, I will be doing, hopefully, a special episode this week about a very special player that should be out by Friday or Thursday, if I can get it done. I'm recording and filming some online music courses. So depending on when I finish that, I might or might not have time to do the episode. But that's going to happen. Either way, I will continue to write every single day. Every single day. And you can find those writings at if you visit thatarsenalwomenblog.com. Again, thatarsenalwomenblog.com. I write every single day. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening, and we'll speak again real soon.